It's your presence, Master. It's your presence that we seek. For in your presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. As we repent for every word, thought, and deed we've done that's offended you, wash us with the blood of Christ and the stripes of Christ. Loose us from the bonds of deceptions, entanglements, and affairs of this world, and the mindsets that have entangled us in deception and delusion. Free us, Father, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, that we may be one with you in truth, spirit, and in power. That your image, likeness, and character would be established in us, taking dominion in every area, filling us afresh, that we may eat of your faithfulness and drink of your blood and eat of your flesh. Open our eyes, Papa. Open our ears and open our hearts that we may be one with you, established and positioned and freed to bring you glory, honor, and praise. As we thank you for every price you paid for us, and we welcome Holy Spirit. Come and teach us and guide us. Fill us, establish us, and perfect us for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. Blessed and highly flavored. Well, the weatherman didn't tell the truth, so he needs to repent. Hallelujah. You know, I was seeking the Lord as we were worshiping to see if he wanted to speak about something else. Because I really believe that this message is vital. And I don't want any interference with cold or anything. So he said, no, deliver it. And so I'm going to deliver this message today, and I think it's very, very vital. And you know, as we're going through things, we go through things and things happen in our life. Circumstances occur and there are opportunities. There are always opportunities to grow. The Bible says that count it all joy, not if you go through stuff, but when you go through it, because you're going to go through it. But there's a purpose for that, and it's to bring more of Christ in us and less of us. And there's something that he shared with me, and I just thought it was very profound. And I had a vision of it, and I'll talk a little bit about this, but I want to start with Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 and verse 39. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? And coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. In other words, he used to go to Mount of Olives a lot. In fact, that's where he will return. So he used to go there a lot. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And of course, we know that without prayer, you're easily snared by temptation. Prayer is essential. But I want to share something with you that was more vital during this time Jesus prayed. In fact, the Bible says he prayed three times. He went and prayed three times, and then in three times he was praying, he was breaking through. He was breaking through his own tabernacle, because he was the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. He had to pray three times to break through each chamber. And in this is what I'm calling burning through the soul. See, there's an area where you and I must burn through your soul to get to him. God is spirit. And he desires us to worship him in truth and spirit and have fellowship with him in spirit. Everything's about in spirit. And your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your imaginations of self. Of what? Self. It is a survival mode of comfort. Familiarity. Intangible trusts and reliabilities. And I'll repeat that. So your soul is your mind, your will, your imaginations, your emotions. And it is the area of self, the old man. And in this, it is a survival mode of comfort, familiarity, and tangible trust. It's survival mode of comfort, familiarity, and tangible trust and reliabilities. Things that you rely on according to your carnal senses. Is everybody with me? And one of the things that Jesus, to fulfill the will, to go through the great... See, he didn't... We know physically he died on the cross, but he actually died right here. This is where he died. This is where the blood was shed, right here. Has everybody got it? He sweat blood. Why? Because he could not die for me and you until he died to himself. See, he had to die and go through all chambers of the tabernacle. He had to burn through the soul of all senses and all carnal things and everything of comfort and everywhere he came from. Come on, he was God Almighty who was throned and left his throne to become man and die for me and you. So he had to become like man. He had the ability and authority to say, enough! I'm not going to die. I'm going to kill all mankind and start over. I will not put myself through this. But he looked at me and you as his offspring, his children. He said, I will die for them. I will become a man and I will die for them. They will hang me on a cross because he knew everything that was to come because he was here before it even happened. So he knew it. So there's something that he had to do. He had to burn through his own soul. His spirit, man. He who he truly was had to burn through his own soul to die to himself so that you and I could be free. He had to burn through his soul to complete and fulfill the will of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Burning through the soul. Would you read it with me? For what man knows the things of a man except the what? Spirit of the man, which is what? In him. So the carnal man, the man that you were born with, only knows the things of the natural. It only relies on its carnal senses. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God who is from God. These are those who are born again by the Spirit. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So the spirit of the man is the offspring of darkness, is known as self. It relies only on carnal senses according to the natural realm. It relies on worldly senses. But the Spirit of God reveals your spiritual call, purpose, and destiny, which brings me and you to a different type of comfort. It is a comfort that surpasses all understanding. It is a comfort that you know who you are and what you are, and everything around you doesn't matter because you don't belong here. Is everybody okay? Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. I'll go through this as quick as possible. Don't drift on me. If you see your neighbor drifting, slap him. Nicely now, in love. Ezekiel 36. Is everybody there? In verse 23. And let's read this together. Now, you know when God speaks of Israel, he speaks about us too. He says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst." How many of us profaned his name when we were walking in the flesh? "And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." In other words, when I am reverenced in you before their eyes, they will know. They will know. When he's reverenced in us. See, that word reverence is a representation of the fear of the Lord established in me and you, where there is reverence, respect, and honor. In verse 24, he says, "I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols." Idols. Carnal common senses. All the things that you put your comfort in and trust in according to the world. "And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in all of my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations." Now, this is powerful, because what does he say? He says, "Listen, I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to give you one that I've created in my image and likeness. Because you and I were born in the image and likeness of darkness. We must be born again in the image and likeness of Christ, and that's how we receive a new spirit." He's going to give us a new spirit. Now, the heart is the character of your spirit. Okay? Your heart expresses whether your spirit's contaminated or not. So you get a new spirit, you get a new heart, and he says, "I'm going to give you my spirit now." He's called the Holy Spirit, which brings you to a place of holiness. "I'm going to give you my spirit so I can empower you, your inner man, your new creation spirit, to burn through your soul so you can have relationship with me." Is everybody okay? Woohoo! new heart, new spirit, his spirit to empower, to burn through the carnal senses and the soul. Because those areas are the things that draw us away from the will of God. Man loves a shortcut and comfort. It does not like things that resist. Oh, if it's easy, I'll take it. Far be it, I have to pay a price. In Ephesians 3, verse 15. Ephesians 3, verse 15. Ephesians 3:15. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Good. Let's start for 14. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and from the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the what? Inner man. Why do you need strength in your inner man? This is the new man. This is not the old man. This is, you need the power of the Holy Spirit and the new created spirit that's in you to burn through your soul so you can have relationship with the Spirit of God. And your soul is your what? Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations, your carnal senses associated with them. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Psalm 19. Fire. I wanna burn. La 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 la. For you. Psalm 19:7. Would you read it with me, please? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Oh. Converting the soul to obey the Spirit. See, your soul needs to be a place where it is submissive to your spirit. But you know what? That's why your spirit man needs to be stronger than your soul. Does everybody got it? Because your soul needs what? Converting. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imaginations associated with the carnal senses need to be converted. And it's not going to be converted on its own. It's going to need some guidance. It's going to need some discipline. It's going to need truth. It's going to need the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your inner man says no when your soul wants to do something else. No. No. Let me tell you something. When I had my encounter with the Lord, and I didn't even know the word, but my spirit man was so strong, and any time an emotion would come, before it could even have an opportunity to say hi, my spirit man said, no. 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 I heard a lot of no's. You know, only he knows. But there was a lot of no's. And then there was yes, yes. Walk this way, yes. Until my soul began to be converted. Does everybody got it? Until it began to get converted more. So I had to constantly burn through my soul to have relationship with my Father. Other than that, my mind, will, and emotions would always move me away because it was uncomfortable. Are you comfortable out here? Romans 12. So your soul needs converting. Romans 12. In verse 2. It's a wee bit chilly out here today. Romans 12, in verse 2. Would you read it with me? Do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise God. So your soul needs to be converted in what? Transformed. Did you ever see the Transformers? That's what your soul needs to do. Yeah! Get behind me. So your soul needs transformation. It needs converting. Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Psalm 23. Lift your hands up and get a drink if you need to. Yeah. Fire. I want to burn. For you, Lord, Yes. Okay. Psalm 23, is everybody there? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be cold. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He what? Restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So in an area where your soul needs restoring is after it's been converted, after it's been transformed, and it becomes flawed again, it needs to be restored. Has everybody got it? It needs to be restored. And it needs to be restored into the original state that God intended it to be. Why? Because there's many flawed belief systems. Flawed belief systems will always cause you to perceive things differently. 3 John. 3 John. 3 John. Let's read it together. Verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health just as your what? Soul prospers, for I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the what? Truth that is in you just as you walk in the truth. And the word truth is representation of the Spirit. You walk in the truth. So your soul must what? Prosper. It must increase. It must grow in the areas of the things of God. Because your spirit communes with the spirit realm and your soul interprets what the spirit is saying. So if your soul isn't converted, hello, if it's not transformed, if it's not restored, are you going to be able to correctly interpret things? No. That's why there's goofiness. Granolaism. Those are people that are nutty and fruity. Doing things out of order. Whatever they feel like it. The shortcut to comfort. Totally unstable. Up one day, down the next. Wishy-washy. Pleasers of men. Can't stand in the area when stuff comes to stand for God. They crumble. Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Is everybody there? Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verse 10. Everybody there? Can we read it now? Even now, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Who's the trees? We be. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the what? Hallelujah! I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. You know, most people don't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why? Because you and I need to get burned. We need to get, see, when you take gold and put it in a fire, it turns transparent. Has everybody got it? So, you know, we're all here crying out for fire. Fire, Lord, fire! And when fire comes, everybody runs. Oh, man, you're dealing with me roughly. Well, you asked for fire. Fire doesn't bring comfort. Hello? It burns all the garbage. It brings all the stuff. Did you ever put chicken in boiling water? You know what comes at the top? The scum. The garbage. The fat. The stuff that's not good for you. Hello? It's the same thing when you ask for God's fire. You know, people are looking for goosebumps. God's fire ain't goosebumps. It's heat. Hello? It's so that you and I can get purified. So there's an area that he empowers us to burn through our soul. until it is completely converted. And of course, we know that ain't happening until you die. Hello. So you're always going to have to fight against your soul, your old man, your carnal arena that's always trying to bring you comfort according to the ways of the world. Look at how many people commit suicide. Look at how many people jump out windows and all kinds of stuff because they lost their money in the stock market. Why? Because it's what brought them comfort. Hello? That was their God. That's called an idol. Anything that is more comfort to you than God Almighty is an idol. So God's going to throw you in the fire, you know, to purify us. In Mark 9. Some of y'all want to go in there right now. I know it. Mark 9. Burning through the soul. Mark 9. You're burning through the soul to have relationship with him, so the world is so what? Mark 9:49. You there yet? Let's read it together. For everyone will be what? Oh, come on now, everybody. Come on, let's all say it. Everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. So every one of us is going to go through the fire. Hello. Nobody escapes the fire. You got to be seasoned. In other words, fire is to purify. And when fire purifies. Titus 3. Oh, it's good to hear the pages crinkling on a Sunday morning. Titus 3. Titus chapter 3. You there? Titus chapter 3. Let's start at verse 1. Titus 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities and to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the what? Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I want you to what? Affirm what? Constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonishing, knowing that such a person is an idiot, warped and sinning, being what? Self-condemned. Hello. Praise God. So anyways, God is going to purify a special people for himself. Has everybody got it? He's going to purify a special people for himself. Go to Philippians 1, please. And purifying with fire means that you and I will have to burn through the soul of carnality. Has everybody got it? In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 27, I think, God willing, something like that. Is everybody there? 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in what? One spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. So here we are, sufferings of Christ by orderly conduct, which is divine order. It is divine order in the lives of his offspring. Now, this is what we call orderly submission. Amen? Because you're in divine order. You are now submission. Why? Because, listen, this is so important. Again, so many run to comfort of the carnal senses, but not orderly submission. There is a suffering of Christ. You might be suffering out here because you're chilly. But if you're receiving and willing to submit and obey, that is a price counted for Christ. Does everybody got it? Many not willing to suffer the price only want the goodness of Christ and never willing to accept the sufferings of Christ. They only want to use God for what is good, but not willing to pay the price. Does everybody got it? Oh, Lord, I thank you for this and this, and you know what I need. But see, when it comes to conflicts, when it comes to paying a price, many people go back to comfort. Has everybody got it? They go back to comfort. See, there are many people who didn't come out here today because it's chilly. You know why? They want comfort. They want comfort. The carnal, the soulish arena. See, you got to burn through that soul. You got to burn through those carnal senses. You got to burn through the comfort, because God can't use someone who's only looking for comfort. He can't trust them. He's looking for those who don't rely on what they feel, rely on what they think, and sometimes rely on what they believe. But they rely on him. Because everything is about earning the trust of God Almighty. That's what it's all about. And if you and I are submitting to him in all of these areas and willing to burn through that soul and allow the soul to be converted, transformed, and allow the fire of God to purify me and you, you come to a place where you no longer rely on you. You come to a place where you're no longer looking for comfort, but your desire is to please him. So when he says give, give. When he says go, go. When he says stop, stop. When he says walk this way, you walk this way. You know, right now, even in the world right now, and all the economy and all the things that are happening, this is where the body of Christ should be giving more, not less. Because as a man sows, so he reaps. He who sows bountifully reaps bountifully. He who sows wimpy receives wimpy. I'm not going to pass a bucket around to get an offering today, because it's right here. But this is a time where the body of Christ needs to give more, not less. See, you know why? Because they're being swayed by the soulish arena of carnality that's associated with the world. And they're claiming to be believers when they're supposed to come out from among them and be separate. But they act just like them, calling on the name of Jesus. And God can't trust them. They have carnal wisdom, not godly wisdom. Everything is associated with see, taste, feel, and comfort. Did the apostles have comfort? No. You know where their comfort was? In his presence. Didn't they say to him, Lord, we've given up everything for you? He said, that's good. and your reward will be great in heaven. See, everybody's looking for the reward here. Listen, your reward here is nothing compared to heaven. So you and I must allow the fire of God to purify us, so we, our spirit man, can be empowered to burn through the soul, so the soul can be converted and transformed into his image and likeness. So you think the way he thinks, you see the way he sees, you speak what he speaks. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. David even said, I always see the Lord before me. Not the money sign. Not the self sign. You know, when the enemy wants to get us out of order, his purpose is to get us out of order so the flow can't come. You know, we talked about this yesterday. In the area, the word ordered comes from a commander giving an order. We've been ordered to do things. Jesus said the commands come from the Spirit now. They come through the Spirit to each and every one of us. So you and I are ordered to do things. Why? To get us in order. Because when we're out of order, conduct is out of order, we miss the things of God. And we don't walk the way he walked. So we're okay. Don't run to comfort. Sufferings of Christ by orderly conduct, which is a divine order in the lives of his offspring. One of the things that many people said about the disciples, they knew them. They were with Jesus because they acted like him. In Ezekiel 13, almost done. About 40 more scriptures. There's a little suffering. Did I say Ezekiel? Well, I meant Zechariah. They both have Z's. Zechariah, man. Is everybody okay? Are you still suffering? Praise God, you're doing it for him. Don't run to comfort. In verse 8, would you read it with me? And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die. But 1/3 shall be left in it, and I will bring the 1/3 through the fire. Will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Yes. You know, the other day I was having this discussion with the Lord, and I said, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of people that come and go and all kinds of stuff. And I said, you know, what's going on? And he said, and he brought me to when he told 500 disciples to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, hang out in Jerusalem. And the feast of Pentecost was getting ready to happen. And he said, listen, don't go there. Don't go to the religious feast of perditions of men. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he brought me to the scripture. 2/3 will be killed. 1/3 will go through the fire. Which one do you want to go through? I thought, whoa. Shook me up right then and there. I said, send me in the fire. This is my people, he said. This will be my people. And they will say, I am their God. In Daniel 3. You know, for all this fire we're talking about, it seems to be getting colder out now. I guess that's more than suffering we're supposed to be doing here. Daniel 3. Listen, I wanted to do this Tuesday so you can take this up with God. Woo! Daniel 3, verse 14. Now Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of himself, and he said, everybody worships it, or you die. In verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." Now go to verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. See, he drove a fury. And the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, the demon expression manifested. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men, loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like a son of God." He never saw the son of God. How did he know it was him? He never saw him. Somebody just told him, "Don't you think so?" See, you and I came from God, but we entered into this realm. All memory was wiped away. That's why we're searching for our way home. But something was quickened to him by the Spirit. He said, "That looks like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fiery. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the kings and councils gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor was their garments affected. And the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yield their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." See, going through the fire purifies you to become men and women of God. If you're not willing to go through the fire, you cannot be a flame of fire. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we are to be ministers of the flame of fire. How can you be ministers of the flame of fire if you're not willing to go through it? You can't. You'll turn to religiosity, which is easier and more comfortable. Hello. In fact, the Bible tells us all of our works and the day of judgment will be tried by fire. And only those things that were accomplished through his power and his anointing and his will stand. Everything else will burn away. And the book of Malachi, it tells us that Jesus is the refiner's fire. Amen. Why? Because he is purifying us. So your circumstances right now, my brothers and sisters, is a part of the suffering of Christ so that you can be purified through the fire and burn through your soul and have relationship with him in spirit. And I close at Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Let's read it together. And the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hallelujah. The word alive is worth the drive. Amen. A part of the suffering. Let him burn you through and purify you so that you will not run to comfort, but you will run to the comforter. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed for this opportunity to suffer today. We thank you that you are purifying us, and we will burn through our soul to get to you and promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.